Hallelujah. Come on in. We'll give it another few seconds and we're going to get logged on. We're listening to the Chicago Math Choir. You can't hurry, God. It's an oldie but a goodie. Y'all come on in. Just a moment, y'all. Come on in. Come on in. Pray and get into the word of God. Come on, let's bow. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now, God, for your many blessings. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. God, if we've done anything that's not like you, we repent of it now, God. We surrender unto your will and your way for our lives, God, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would simply have your way in our lives. Your way, God, not our way, not our ideologies and beliefs or the world systems for what is right, God, but have your way in our lives, God. Continue to cleanse us and make us whole. Build us up where we're torn down, God. Continue, God, to meet every need and fill every void in your people. It is in Jesus' name that we ask these blessings, and God, we say thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise God for each of you who are joining us on this afternoon. Amen. Thank God for our live audiences, the podcast, as well as our live on this afternoon. Amen. We give glory and honor to God for each of you, because you could have been tuned in or doing something else. Nonetheless, thank God because you have tuned in to the Word of God with the Charity Church Complex. Amen. So we just give glory and honor for each of you. We're starting on this morning with the book of Romans chapter 12. Amen. The book of Romans chapter 12. And while you're turning, we've made a post that if anyone wants the job, we need a lawn care person. We need a few things, but we start with the outside and get some stuff done. We are definitely not able to pay some of the fees that folks have asked us for. They are absolutely astronomical. And it's really just lawn care. Not that we don't honor what people do for a living, but sometimes folks like to try to gouge the church because they feel like, well, you ought to have it. So they take advantage of the need. Nonetheless, I believe we're offering a comparable salary, especially because it's going to take a few hours to get the work done. So if you know someone, or if you yourself are able to do the tasks that are listed, send an inbox message or comment on the page as it relates to the job that's posted. Y'all gonna have to give me some thumbs up or some comments or something to let me know if you can see everything clearly. Deacon Jackson, I see the internet spinning and something is probably not working right. But nonetheless, y'all send some thumbs up or something so that I know that you can see. And the message is coming through clearly. Again, that's Romans, the 12th chapter. If you are there, give us some hearts, some thumbs up, shout out, do something so that I can see you. Amen. And it could just be that I can't see people today. And that happens. Y'all know that's not new. So I want to say this at the onset. Some of y'all might not like me after this message, but you're going to love me when it's all over. Amen. Romans 12. Romans 12 says, don't become, and I'm reading from the Message Bible, Romans 12 and 1. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen. We've read verses 1 and 2 from Romans, the 12th chapter. I want to use for a thought on this afternoon, transformative faith. Transformative faith. People of God, the world and society have patterns or ways that lead to a broken life. These patterns are easy to fall into and can be difficult to transform. The patterns or routines are often preformed mindlessly without any consideration of our actions or their consequences. However, we are not stuck with them. Our patterns can be identified and changed by choosing to focus on Christ, by focusing on God's mercy and the love of God, by focusing on being in Christ and reject the lie and the deception of sinful desires of the enemy of your soul, and by rejecting the patterns and the routines that the world promotes as desirable and normal, and live with the heart of God. So somebody wants to know, well, how then, Doctor, does this renewing occur? Well, we've read it in the scripture on this morning. It starts with the church. We've got to stop looking and acting like the worldly folks. If we're blending in, there is a problem. God called us to come out from among them. He told us that we were peculiar. He told us that we were different. He called us out. So then there is no way that we can blend in with them, with the rest of the world. So changing your patterns and focusing on Christ will change your life. When we understand God's love and His mercy for us, we find the reason to transform our lives and to renew our minds. Because when we truly remember that Jesus gave His life for us to be free of the bondage of this world, then you'll recognize we owe Him everything. Glory to God. And God has done far too much for us to go back on Him now. Well, somebody wants to know then, well, Dr., how do you create new patterns? The answer is this. Under the reign of God's love and mercy in your life, it starts with the basics that you learned with salvation. The first thing is repent now. Don't wait, because you don't know when the day nor the hour is when Jesus is coming back for His bride, which is the church. You don't know. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. So repent now. To repent means to turn from the world and turn to God. Not just turn from, but turn to. Amen. It's not a 360, because that would be a whole circle. We've got to make a 180 and turn around and turn our backs to things of the world. We've got to spend time in prayer and in fasting. We need to spend time reading the Word of God. We need to learn how to serve God and to serve Him by helping other people to get to a place of repentance and salvation, just like you did. And then it is necessary to obey the voice of God through His Holy Spirit. So now somebody wants to know, well, what does that actually look like? I mean, you know, I hear this stuff all the time, but, you know, make this relevant to me. All right, I'll make it plain. It is important that we learn to focus on God rather than yourself, or rather than your problems. Many of us spend a lot of time talking about our problems, but not talking about our God. God promises to lead us and show us His will for our lives when we submit to His leadership in our lives. You see, when you've truly been in the presence of God, nobody has to make an announcement or tattoo it on your forehead. Amen. You don't need to mimic anybody. You're not looking for likes on social media, and you will not look and act like the rest of the world. Once you've truly experienced the presence of God, your spirit will discern what you see, which may differ from what you think you know. Therefore, although some things may be lawful or legal according to man's laws in this day and time, they will still conflict with your spirit because they are not in alignment with the Word of God. in this world that we live in, so many people say these words, well, to each his own. No. The laws of man are constantly changing because they are being used to attempt to force believers to accept what is not holy or acceptable to God. So the world thinks if they make certain things legal, we're supposed to simply jump in with both feet and say, oh, well, I guess it's okay now because it's legal. And we as a church sat back and we did nothing while they told us that our children can no longer pray at school. And we as the church sat back while they told us that anybody can get married. And we as the church sat back and forgot about, be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, the problem is that we didn't save anything for marriage. So we let our bodies talk to us. A lot of folks are running around curious and confused, not always because they saw their daddy cheating. And some of them saw your supposed to be saintly mamas creeping for some light bill money. And the rest are in a marriage or in a marriage bed that's dry as cardboard. We have got to wake up, people of God. You see, the truth is, if you want to save your marriage, you're going to have to get off of your boring high horse and act like every time may be your last time, because it could. You ought to work this thing out with your spouse like it's a part-time job. Married folks have no business wanting for anything, so we don't have to turn to the world for some other type of satisfaction or pornography or what have you. But everything that we need physically is supposed to be found in our spouse. But we allow the world to interpret what a marriage or a relationship is supposed to look like. And many times it involves three people. It involves four, five people. It involves you, them, and the four people that they messing with. I came to tell somebody today about transformative faith. Remember this. A lot of things may be legal, but it does not make them godly. Think about this. At one time, slavery was legal. At one time, beating your wife was legal. She was simply property. At one time, hanging people from a tree for theft of a horse or shooting an unarmed man was legal too. So we should know by now that just because man's laws say that it's okay, it does not mean that it is okay with God. Christians live by a different standard. The world's system is designed to make us compromise our beliefs. It's designed to cause us to let down our guard or jump into sin with both feet because, well, you know, it's legal. That's why Jesus taught us how to differentiate. He said to render unto Caesar what is his, but unto God what is his. That clearly lets us know that there is a distinct difference in earthly things, which may be lawful, versus being kingdom-minded and living holy. You see, man's laws make things so expensive that the saints think that they no longer need to tithe or give to the church. And we simply sit back and say, we're in a recession. Everything is expensive. But then we don't obey God's law. Man's laws say that you can go and do something strange to make some change. God's law says he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Man's law says if it comes in your size, you can wear it. Man's laws say you get them before they get you. Man's laws say that if somebody emotionally damages you, you have the right now to hurt other people going forth because somebody hurt you. Man's laws say that you can be fluid in your sexuality and you can't help who you love because you were born this way. But one has nothing to do with the other. You see, the truth is the word of God. And when you know the truth will set you free from the bondage of this world and its antics. Therefore, in comparison to the world, which tells you to operate how you feel, the word will always tell you to align yourself so that your actions please God and not man. For example, the Bible tells us that when we don't have enough money to sow what we have, and more will return unto us. The Bible tells us to give an honest day's work for an honest pay. Regarding clothes, the Bible tells us not to be a stumbling block to others. The Bible tells us to pray for those who spitefully misuse us because vengeance belongs to God. He will repay. And the Bible tells us if you think that you were born fluid and it causes you to take actions that are conflicting, you can repent and be born again. So therefore, I was born this way is no longer an excuse. See, we're talking about transformative faith. Many people say that they have faith, but they don't have enough faith for God to transform your life. You can't have it both ways. We are to live united with Christ, living dead to sin and raised new in life, in the life of Christ, according to 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 6. Romans 12 just told us that it is by the mercy of God that we can be spiritually transformed and no longer live as enemies of God. It is by the renewing of our minds that we can live transformed lives. So, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the word transformation means a complete or major change in someone. It changes your appearance and it changes your form. So now help us, Pastor, to make this clear for what it means to Christians. Should we change our behavior to be more Christ-like or live by a new set of rules and regulations is the question. By looking closely at the two verses that we've just talked about, we find that transformation in the Bible actually means something completely different than what we might think. In the New Testament, the Greek word for transformation is metamorphosis. The definition of metamorphosis is a profound change in form from one stage to the next in the life history of an organism, as from the caterpillar to the pupa, and from the pupa into an adult butterfly. A caterpillar is born already possessing the life that will cause it to become a butterfly. Although an outward change does occur during metamorphosis, it's the result of an organic change from within. A caterpillar doesn't put on a butterfly costume or strive to act like a butterfly. As long as it continues to eat, a caterpillar can trust in the metabolic process to assimilate those nutrients into its body and cause it to grow. Eventually, it undergoes metamorphosis and becomes a butterfly. Help me, Holy Ghost. When we prayed to receive Christ as our Savior, we were regenerated or reborn. With the divine life of God within us to become children of God. This life operates within us to transform us into the image of Christ. However, like a caterpillar, we also need to eat in order to be transformed. So in John 6:35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall by no means hunger, and he who believes in me shall by no means ever thirst." The Lord wants us to take him as our spiritual food every single day, just like you eat natural food every single day. You've got to feed and feast on Jesus every day if you want to continue to grow in him and be transformed. As we eat and drink of the Lord, we are supplied what we need, thank you, Jesus, to grow in his divine life. This growth is the process described in 2 Corinthians 3:18 of being transformed little by little, thank you, God, from one degree of glory to another into the image of Christ. See, some of us preachers have told you wrong. I'm going to say it again. Some of us preachers have told you wrong. We tell you to make up your mind and get yourself together. But the truth is, you can't. You can't do this thing by yourself. We cannot transform ourselves by simply making up in our minds to do so. But as Romans 12 tells us, we can be transformed. That is, we can cooperate with the Lord to allow this process of transformation to fully and holistically take place in our lives. To cooperate with this metabolic process of transformation, we need to take Christ in as our food and our drink on a daily basis. We've made Christianity seem complicated, but it's not. Preachers have pushed off on the people our own issues. We're telling them, "Oh, see, you need to get saved. You're going to have to quit drinking." And they're thinking, "I don't drink. I smoke. What is he talking about? What is she talking about?" We've told them to change their clothes. But really, that's what God told us to do. Because we were out there drunk as Cooter Brown on Saturday night and getting up putting on a suit or a dress down to our ankles on Sunday morning. We were wearing clothes to tempt somebody because we didn't have enough attention at home. So we were doing things to try to make somebody want us. Some of us were dealing with the spirit of rejection and abandonment. So we were doing anything that we could to try to fit in with the worldly folks. We're going to tell the truth today because we married people act like we don't know that we are threefold beings just like God. See, we were made in the image of Christ, right? Amen. But all of our parts need attention. That's spirit, soul, and body. And when you're married, you hope to have those things fulfilled at home. But because people see the preacher, or you marry somebody who is a preacher, or you get married and then that person becomes a preacher, and then we don't get what we need physically, and we started giving over to tricks of the enemy and started preaching to the people our problem rather than what saith the Lord. So the people are conflicted because church leadership is conflicted. When the head gets right, when the pastors, the apostles, the bishops, when we all get right, when everybody else sees us operating as we should, then they will fall into alignment. When fathers and heads of households get themselves aligned with God and fall in line with the word of God, when men are leading the families again and not walking out because they are tired, well, everybody gets tired, take a nap. When women who are leading households stop being angry and bitter with men, so you tell your kids hateful things because they look like their daddy. When we get aligned with the word of God, when parents stop being conflicted and treating your kids like your friends, then the children will get aligned. I came to tell somebody today about transformative faith. So how then, preacher, can we do this? Well, it sounds simple, and I'm almost done. By first calling on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, he that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why do we need to do that? Because there is still power in the name of Jesus. By singing with our spirit to the Lord, instead of feeding this other music into our spirits, which gives us this mindset and ideology that we are a thug, that we are some temptress. By praying over what we read in the Bible so that our understanding is enlightened. By giving thanks to God instead of acting like we ourselves have provided. If God don't give breath in your body, you can't provide anything. So therefore, you've got to recognize that it's all God. It was never about you, your education, your abilities. It was never any of those things. It was always God. By giving God praise for who he is, not for the stuff that he gives you. It's by hearing the preached word of God. And hearing means it's ongoing. I heard another preacher, which happened to be my mother, say that the other day, and it did something in my spirit because it confirmed the word of God that was already in me. I'm going to say it again, by hearing the preached word of God, meaning it's present, it's now, it's ongoing. But you've got to hear it on a consistent basis. And by preaching the gospel or speaking about Christ to others, because the ways of this world are taking us to hell in a handbasket. These are just some of the ways that we can eat or partake of Christ as our living bread and drink of him as our living water. As we do this regularly, we become more strengthened spiritually and are continuously transformed more and more into the image of Christ. I came to tell somebody today about transformative faith. The same faith that you've had to move mountains or to be able to qualify to get a home or to be able to get your child in school or to be able to pay your bills is the same faith, a transformative faith that can and will change your life if you allow God to do so. It's time out for us as church folks to stop shaking and faking and being in and being out and being hot and being cold and nobody knows where we're coming from. No, it's not because we're bipolar. It's because we are conflicted. We are conflicted. We have ourselves, many churches have given in to saying anything so that the money keeps coming because we don't want to make our top tithers quit paying. Because we know when they get mad, they don't put no money in church. Let's just be honest. But we have to deliver the unadulterated word of God no matter what. I'm talking about transformative faith. It's the kind of faith that will remind you, women, to stop telling these young girls to wear dresses that come down to their ankles. Mothers, the reason your dresses come to your ankles is because you are 5'2". Some of us are near 7 foot tall and ain't nothing coming down to our ankles. Let's just tell the truth. Men, stop wearing these tight suits so somebody can count the quarters in your pocket is what you see many of the preachers say. But when they take their robes off, they wearing the same suits that come up around their ankles like ankle beaters and they're fitted to their bodies. They call them tailored. I call them tight. I'm telling you this. It's not about the clothes. Because once we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, the change becomes organic. It's the stuff that's down on the inside of you already that will make you a butterfly. But you've got to go through the process and you've got to eat right so that you can move from pupa to butterfly. Many of us have been stuck somewhere in the middle of the process because we stopped eating what we needed to cause the transformation. And there is nothing and nobody that can cause a transformation in your life other than Jesus. See, it's time to stop putting on butterfly costumes. It's time to stop putting on saintly costumes. It's time to stop putting on Holy Ghost masks and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because once our minds and our spirits have become renewed, once we are in alignment with the word of God, the change is inevitable. Some of us put on so much makeup, we're trying to cover up our sadness. And I don't care how much of that contour stuff or whatever it is that people wear that you put on your face. It's nothing like the glow of holiness. It is nothing like the glow of happiness. It's nothing like the glow of real joy down on the inside. I don't care, men, how many different haircuts you get and how much of that black spray they put all around the edge of your hair. It is nothing like the transformation of salvation. That's the best you'll ever look. Is with the transformation of salvation. It's the best you'll ever be. Is with the transformation of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stop there because I'm sure for a lot of y'all, this seems like a heavy message. I want to pray with you because I'm telling you now that there has to be a change that's brought about in the body of Christ. Many of our body parts, because we are one body with many members, the body of Christ, the church as a whole. But many of our body parts seem to be falling off. because a lot of folks are giving up and giving in to the ways of the world. But my Bible tells me that the wages of sin is death. So many people are leaving here. So many people are gone at what we think is a young age. But the one thing I know about the Lord is he's not going to just let us leave with unfinished business. Now, we can put ourselves out there in the world, find ourselves in places where we're not supposed to be, wake up one day with diseases that will kill you or in environments that will get you killed. Or we can obey God. We can put ourselves out to be liked by people. Or we can obey God. We can put ourselves out to look like and act like everybody else. Or we can obey God. The reason that you don't feel any joy right now, and you feel like you're in a space where you're just not satisfied, it's because you've allowed yourself to be tainted by the things of the world. You've allowed yourself to be tempted by the things of the world. And you now think that stuff is normal. And living in alignment with the word of God is abnormal or not normal. I want you to know today that the devil is a liar. You can be satisfied and live a holy life. You can be satisfied in Jesus and still have joy and peace and laughter. You can still have friends who are like-minded. We do not have to yield to the ways of this world, but we can have a transformative faith that changes our lives, changes our minds, and changes our hearts. It's that simple. My entire household has been under attack all this week because I had to get this message out. And you know, the enemy will do anything that he can to stop the word of God from going forth. But I want you to know that I'll tell it everywhere that I go. Because it's nobody but Jesus that has brought us this far. And I know he did not bring us this far to leave us. So for every need that you may have as an individual, every need that I may have as an individual, every need that you may have as a spouse, as a parent, every need that you may have as a pastor, if you're watching, I want you to know that God will fulfill. He will supply every one of your needs if you just trust him. You've trusted him with everything else. Trust him now to renew your mind. Trust him now to renew your faith. Trust him now to renew you threefold, spirit, soul, and body. Because some of our bodies have gotten sick. Some of our bodies have issues going on. Some of our bodies have stuff that the doctors don't even know what's wrong with us. But God knows. And he's not just the great physician. He is our creator. And every creator knows all about everything that he created. So therefore, we've got to trust God with our bodies. We've got to trust God with these things that are going on in our heads that we don't talk about and we don't want to tell anybody. We sit around with a somber face and people are wondering, what is wrong with you? It's because we've left the faith. Let's just tell the truth about it. We've left the faith. But if you could muster up enough courage right now to just admit, God, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not doing the things I'm supposed to be doing. And I need you to help me. Then he'll do it. I promise he will do it. Sometimes I have to just submerge myself into the word of God, whether that's listening to the word, listening to music, music, reading the word. Sometimes I have to do all the above to get myself together. And I submit to you. Not that you don't know already, I'm human. As spiritual as I may be, I'm still human. So sometimes my humanity will kick in and y'all will get on my last nerve. However, I'm not different than you. If you would just submerge yourself into the word of God, and if you've got to do it by worship music, and if you've got to do it by reading, or if you have to do it by praying, or if you have to do all of the above, like I do sometimes, just to keep my head on straight, then I submit to you that that's what you need to do. Because the faith that we say that we have is nothing if we don't apply it. We're talking about transformative faith. I'm trying to just pray and let you go, but I need you to hear me today. Trust God to take you through those stages of going from a caterpillar to the pupa. Then to the beautiful butterfly. Let's stop putting on these costumes. No more butterfly costumes. Let's just go through the process. It may seem uncomfortable, but I want you to know that when you gave your life to Christ, He planted down on the inside of you the ability to reach the stages of the butterfly. And all you had to do was keep eating and keep living. That's it. It's all you had to do. But somewhere along the way, you stopped eating the things that would help you to transform. And you started eating and indulging in things that were actually taking life from you. I want you to know today that you can come back to God. Simply repent. Turn from the world unto God. Make that 180 in this moment. Now let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you now, God, for those who are listening. I thank you, God, for those who are connected with this ministry. And I give you glory now, God, for everything that you're doing in us and through us. I thank you, God, for this word on today. I thank you, God, for those who are under the sound of my voice and they recognize that a change is needed. I thank you, God, that they now understand that they can't do this thing by themselves, but they have to give it to you. I thank you, God, that as we surrender our lives, our minds, our wills, our souls, our entire being unto you, that you are changing us even now. Thank you, God, that as we give up our ways for your ways, you're changing us even now. Thank you, God, that as we repent and turn from old things, they are passed away. And behold, all things have become new in us and through us. I thank you now, God, that as we now lean and depend upon you for this newness of life, that you are lifting up every bowed down head, that you're meeting every need, God, and you're filling every void in the name of Jesus. We know, God, that in this world we will have tribulations, but God, we're so thankful that we are not of this world. We're just in it. God, we trust you right now to bring about the change in our lives that's needed. We glorify you now, God, for being our master and our savior. We give you glory, honor, and praise, God, for giving us yet another chance. God, we can't even count the chances, but God, we repent We turn and we surrender. We want this faith that we have to bring about a newness in our lives, to transform us, oh God, through these stages of life, assimilated in the caterpillar, the pupa, and then the beautiful butterfly. Thank you, God, that you've already given us what we need, God. And now, God, give us the strength to feed ourselves on your word, because you are that bread of life. And if we drink up your cup, we know we'll never thirst again. Thank you now, God, for what you've done and for what you're doing in us. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in the church. We stand now, God, in courage, not blending in with the rest of the world and not going with the ways of the world just because they make something legal. But God, we are ready to stand on your most holy word. We're ready, God, to stand for truth. We're ready, God, to stand for righteousness. We're ready, God, to stand on this rock, which is Jesus. We're ready, God, to stand on your word. We're ready, God, to stand in faith. Glory, God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. And we give you glory now. We count it done, God, by faith. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. If you have not had the opportunity to give of your tithes and offering, the Cash App is $CampbellMinInc. CampbellMinInc. That's it. CampbellMinInc. If you want to submit to PayPal, it's at Campbell Ministries, and you'll see my name there. I thank God for each of you who have joined on today. I give glory to God for who he is, and I thank God for what he's doing in this ministry. On Wednesday, I am expecting for us to still have Bible study. On Thursday, I will be traveling. Meet me in Houston, Mississippi, Thursday through Saturday. We are having the Mississippi State Rally for Kingdom Destiny Fellowship International. The musical starts on Thursday. On Friday night, I will be the inspirational speaker, and our speaker of the hour will be overseer Cal Gibson out of Alabama. And we'll be back here on Sunday. Don't y'all miss out. Don't miss this move of God. May God bless you and keep you. It's certainly our prayer. Amen.